WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Thursday morning, and we are taking your phone calls at 508-996-0500. We were talking about this. We also have app chat and open line voicemails open on the WBSM app. We were talking about this attempted stabbing at Dartmouth High School yesterday morning. At 10:30 in the morning, police were called to Dartmouth High School from a 911 call inside of the school. Apparently, it was the student who called 911. Officers learned that two students were involved in an altercation in the hallway but were separated after one of them fled into a nearby office. The investigation revealed the victim was approached by the suspect, a fellow student who was known to them in the hallway, and attempted to stab the victim using a pen with a screwdriver on the other end. And this led to a shelter in place as police and school staff were trying to locate that weapon. And we only got word that there was a shelter in place at the high school and no other information than that, because that's what police put out. And then all of their emergency communications are now encrypted. So the people who listened to the scanners and Broadcastify and all that stuff had no idea what was going on. And in the absence of information comes rumor. And there were a lot of rumors that were going around yesterday on social media with that lack of more information happening. So while I, as I said before, while I understand the Dartmouth police and all of Dartmouth emergency responders' decision to encrypt their communications, I don't like it. And yesterday is an example of what can happen, where this incident happened at 10:30 in the morning and the police put out Facebook posts about the shelter in place relatively quickly, but then it was hours before they put a press release up that explained what was going on, and then even longer after that before the town put out the press release to the media. 6:43 last night is when the press release came out. That's a long time for people to have known that there was a shelter. Like I said earlier, the kids already got home from school and explained to their parents what happened before they had a chance to learn about it from the news. So what do you think about that? 508-996-0500, plus whatever else is on your mind. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. I hope you give me the time to view my points on this.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok, Facebook, those are private companies. The airways belong to the people. When we listen to our scanner, that belongs to the people. Politicians don't have the right to control the lines at the airways, because if politicians control the airways and the freedom of information, that's what happens in communist nations. They don't have the right to do that. And to rely on social media to get all your information, private companies, that they can do whatever they want. They can take anything off their social media site. That's not the right way to go.
So, I mean,
you know,
the issue here is that they're concerned about the private information that gets broadcast over these channels then getting, you know, shared out.
Private information. That's the politicians that are playing games.
They
want to control what the people know. We pay a lot of taxes in the city of New Bedford. And we the people on the airways, not the politicians. They don't have the right to control the airways, whether it's the scanner or the radio.
That's
why radio stations have licenses.
It's
a privilege.
Don't you
that the American people are allowing them to come on?
Don't you think there should be a way that they can give information out in a non-encrypted way without having to give the private information out? They should at least be able to say, here's the situation, here's what's going on, and not say anybody's name or any information.
It's a public school. The people pay taxes. There's no privacy in there. Now, if it's private property, it's one thing.
No, hold on, because I don't want the information about kids that are under 18 being given out. There's no reason for you
committing crimes. Stabbing another fellow student.
Doesn't matter.
They shouldn't come out there. I don't agree with that.
They're still juveniles.
As far as all these politicians now, they're concerned about disinformation because the people, the American people, want to know the truth and they try to control information. I would even say the ABC News, they call themselves news, they put out disinformation. They're purveyors of disinformation.
But yet they
come on the airways.
What disinformation do you think they're putting out?
Well, the Steele dossier and other stuff that they've come out with.
So no,
they report it as news, and it's not news.
So you feel that they messed up one story, and so you should throw away 100 years of news coverage.
All the great stories they've covered over the years. People listening to the scanner and people listening to the airways that they do WBSM. Brian Gomes accused WBSM of putting out this information because he was being attacked. The recording is on the city council floor when he voted yes for Shane Burgo. He accused WBSM of putting out this information.
Yeah, but just because he said it doesn't mean it's true.
That's what I'm saying. It's the airways belong to the people, not politicians, and they're going to tell you all of this stuff while the people don't have the right to know and all of that. When you come to that point where the government, politicians, control the airways, then you know that you live under a dictatorship and a communism. And if you don't believe me, read history and you will see. We are a free society. In order to have a free society, you have to have free airways, the freedom of information. And there are politicians on both sides of the aisle that want to control that so that people are dumb and don't know what's going on.
All right. Thank you for the call. Have a good day. And 508-996-0500. So there's a lot to unpack there, and I'll take your calls and your thoughts on it. But so going back to the idea of wanting to know the identities of underage students that are involved in a crime, listen, this is what this person is charged with, okay? Assault with a dangerous weapon, assault with intent to murder, assault and battery, and assault with intent to cause serious bodily harm. Now, those are very serious crimes, very serious charges. But also, this person has not been convicted of any of those things yet. And in fact, they won't be convicted of all of these things, I'm sure. Because, first of all, they'll plea down some of this. It sounds like it was a mental health episode, so they might even... these charges might not even go forward. And I can't tell you how many times that happens, that, people get charged with something, they get arrested, they get charged with a crime, they go to court, the case gets dismissed, and not because liberal judges and all this stuff, just because it turns out that there is an insufficient fact so that that's what actually happened. That just because you heard it on the scanner doesn't make it true. And as someone who is all for reporting the news and reporting what goes on, I also have to say it's sick how obsessed some people are with sitting around and listening to the scanner. Get a life. Stop being nosy. Now, there are people who sit and listen to it all night long because they're concerned about crime. There's people who listen to it because, they might live in a high crime neighborhood and they want to know what's going on. And that's fine. And that's why they sell scanners for people to be able to buy and have at their house, or why they have apps like Broadcastify and things like that. That's fine. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people who just want to listen so that they can shame the people that whose names get put across. That they're just they just want to be the first person to report something. Or they want to be able to go into a news story on social media and go in the comments, well, what I heard, like as if they're in the know somehow. No, what you heard was on the scanner, and it turned out to be incorrect, which is why it's not in the press release, which is why it's not in the news story, which is why nobody else is reporting that information. And that's not a person that just wants to listen to the scanner to hear what's going on. Like you hear Chris McCarthy say, I listen to the scanner. Yeah, he listens to the scanner because he's a person that wants to know what's going on. Because he wants to then ask questions about it and bring you that information. He doesn't listen to what's going on and then run to Facebook and post up in a town group what's going on. And journalists have ethics that they have to follow. People that are just putting stuff up on social media do not. They don't have training in it. They don't have workshops on it. As I mentioned, you know, we go through something called compassionate coverage. Someone reached out to me and said, hey, there was a big prostitution bust in Dartmouth. Can you find out who it was that was arrested? No. First of all, if you want to know, you can find out. It is a matter of public record. You can go to the courthouse and find out. You're going to have to do some work because they don't make it easy in New Bedford District Court. But if you take the time to go to the police department, get the police log, find out the incidents, go to the courthouse, ask for the docket numbers of the related to those cases, yeah, then you can get all the information. But I'm not going to write a story about who was arrested for prostitution unless it's somebody of significance. But I don't care. And most of the audience doesn't care. You know who cares? The people who just want to shame the people who were arrested. And I took a call the other day, and I get these calls multiple times a week. I took a call the other day from someone who was arrested in 2019 at 19 years old in an incident where they were driving somebody who I guess they got pulled over, or there was a crash, and this person got pulled over. But the police came, I guess, because there was a crash, whatever the circumstances of how they got there. But when the police got there, they found out that the passenger in the vehicle had tried to hide some empty beer cans. And this person who was 19 years old, who was driving, was not under the influence of alcohol. The story that we wrote in 2019 did not mention anything about that. This person was just driving the other person. Well, I'm assuming that the other person was drinking in the car while this person was driving them. And they went to court. They were charged with whatever it was. They went to court. All the charges got dismissed against this person. I don't know if the other person suffered any punishment. I didn't ask. But the person who called, actually, funny thing is, it wasn't the person who called. It was just the person that had the same name. But in looking at the facts of the case, you know, this person had the case dismissed. So there's no reason for that story to stay up. Why? Or I might be conflating two stories in my mind now that I think about it, because I took two calls in the same day about old stories. But anyway, doesn't matter. The bottom line is, this person went to court. Case was dismissed. They were never convicted of any crime. Now their name is out there on the story that exists, so that when you go and apply for a job, they Google you and that comes up. I don't know. I don't think this person's trustworthy enough for something that happened 7 years ago. 6 years ago. So This is why we're trying to be better journalists and better citizens in what we report. Because in the digital age, nothing goes away. And if somebody makes a mistake 6 years ago and then it turns out that it wasn't even a mistake, or there's no punishment for that mistake, why should they still be paying a price for it? And so that's something that we're cautiously aware of and try to be careful of. We used to report if somebody had an overdose. Not if they died from an overdose, but just if they had an overdose. And some outlets would put the person's name because it would come over the scanner that, you know, John Smith is suffering from an overdose. Can we get some emergency personnel there? And then somebody would hear that and write up John Smith was overdosing, but police came and were able to save him. Now, years later, John Smith, you know, that overdose kicked John Smith in the pants enough to realize I've got to get off this stuff. And they went to rehab and changed their life. And now it's, you know, 10 years later and they're doing so much better. They haven't touched a drug since then. They don't even drink coffee. But now every time they go to apply for a job, they type in John Smith, New Bedford, and it comes up that John Smith in New Bedford had an overdose. And again, I know it's a bad name because that could be anybody, but I'm just using that as an example. So that person did everything right to turn their lives around, turn their life around. And this follows them around. And that's the kind of thing that we're trying to avoid. You know, if somebody is arrested for selling drugs, yeah, we'll tell you about that person. But do we need to tell you about the person that bought the drugs? Do we need to publicly shame an addict? Do we need to put out their mugshot photo? Now, granted, I think anybody that does commit a crime, if the police are so certain enough that this is the person that committed the crime, that they can give us their name and write a press release, by the way, in a tone that almost always makes the person sound guilty before they've been tried. Police do not usually use the word allegedly in their press releases. They talk in absolutes, most of them. Some of them are better about it than others, but they talk in absolutes because obviously they feel like they've got the right person. And they feel like they've got enough for this case to stick. But that doesn't always turn out to be the case. No pun intended. And so if you are confident enough that you arrested the right person, then you should be confident enough to also give us the booking photo. And it's been a point of contention between myself and Mayor Mitchell. I shouldn't even say contention, but we've had discussions about it. And he said, listen, there's been incidences of where people have had their name and face plastered all over the place. And turns out that they aren't found guilty. And then they turn around and sue those municipalities for defaming them. He's like, we're not going to get in that position. And I didn't want to say, well, then why do you give us their names then? Because I didn't want to cut off all coverage of crimes in New Bedford. But it's the booking photos that have caused the problem because people use it as a way to publicly shame folks. They pass around a photo of somebody in their worst moment, especially when it's somebody arrested for a DUI or buying drugs or what have you. You know, we all have laughed at those mugshots before. And we still use them if the crime is serious enough, but we don't plaster it everywhere. Like the other day we had the story of the young woman that's accused of forging a check from the town of Rehoboth. And in her mugshot photo, she's smiling. And of course, all the comments are going to be, well, that's the smile of somebody who knows that they just stole $23,000. Like, see, that's where news is to inform you, not to publicly shame somebody else. And that's why they're trying to be more careful with the communications that go out there. Not because of those of you who just want to know the information, but because of those out there who want to take that information and run with it on social media and embarrass people and make them feel bad because it makes that person feel better. 508-996-0500. We will take a break here and be back in a few moments.
Like to be a superhero.
I have no idea. I wonder where I have no superpower, so I can't tell you. But you know who does have superpowers? The one and only Phil Devitt. And he's going to tell you all about the news right now. Take it away, Phil.
Biden says goodbye while issuing a warning. Progress in containing the California wildfires and a sticky anniversary in Boston.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden used his goodbye speech to warn the nation of what he called incoming dangers.
Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead.
He told Americans so much is at stake, referring to climate change in particular and the wildfires in California. Firefighters made significant progress battling the wildfires burning around Los Angeles on Wednesday. Containment lines are growing on the Eaton and Palisades fires despite a final round of windy weather. But authorities are investigating several cases of arson, including one person who admitted to setting a fire, quote, because he liked the smell of burning leaves. The 67th Annual Grammy Awards will still take place on Sunday, February 2nd at the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles, though the Recording Academy has refocused its aim to support relief efforts following the wildfires. Israel and Hamas have agreed to a ceasefire in Gaza after 15 months of intense conflict. The deal includes an exchange of hostages held by Hamas for Palestinian prisoners held by Israel. While Israel achieved significant military gains, the war failed to eliminate Hamas and resulted in the deaths of thousands of Palestinians. The ceasefire agreement faces significant challenges, including the continued Israeli blockade of Gaza and deep divisions between Israelis and Palestinians. President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet picks are moving forward in the Senate despite some controversy. Pete Hegseth, nominated for defense secretary, appears to be on track for confirmation after a heated Senate hearing, with support from Senate Republicans helping to push other nominees through. Meanwhile, more contentious picks like Kash Patel and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. still face scrutiny from both parties. Trump's allies, including figures like Elon Musk, have rallied behind Hegseth, boosting his momentum. With Republicans holding a slim majority, Senate votes on key nominations are expected to begin on Inauguration Day, January 20th. Canada's Energy Minister Jonathan Wilkinson warned U.S. lawmakers that President-elect Trump's proposed tariffs on Canada could raise prices for Americans, including gas, food, and energy costs. Trump's 25% tariff threat on Canada, Mexico, and others has raised concerns about economic consequences. In response, Canada is considering retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods like steel and orange juice. U.S. lawmakers are introducing legislation to limit Trump's tariff powers, reflecting growing concern over potential price hikes and economic disruption. And this week marks the anniversary of the 1919 Boston Molasses Flood, a tragic accident that killed 21 people when a giant tank of molasses ruptured in the city's north end. While the incident may seem like a bizarre historical footnote, a Boston University researcher argues it offers valuable lessons about the city's waterfront and its resilience in the face of disaster. The flood, she says, highlights the complex relationship between industry, community, and the environment, and underscores the importance of careful planning and regulation as Boston navigates future challenges like sea level rise.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics gearing up for their game with the Orlando Magic Friday night at TD Garden, while the Bruins are away to face the Ottawa Senators on Saturday afternoon.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy, less wind, a high of 33 degrees today. On Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 36. On Saturday, partly cloudy, increasing clouds with late rain developing, a high of 45. And on Sunday, morning sunshine followed by afternoon clouds and snow possible overnight into Monday, a high of 41. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And that is Sweet. Love is like oxygen. Starting your morning off as sweet as I can with Sweet. 508-996-0500. And I had mentioned at the end of the last hour that we had a story about TikTok that wasn't about the impending ban, which, by the way, as they were saying during the tech report on America in the Morning this morning, just because the app becomes quote-unquote banned, it doesn't mean it's going to disappear from your phone necessarily. So if you already have it, you'll probably still be able to access it. Uploading things to it might be questionable, but you just won't be able to download it from the store if you don't have it. So if you like TikTok and you want to keep it, I would say download it on all of your devices now while you can, and then, you know, we'll see what happens on Sunday. But incoming President Trump has said he wants to try to keep it around. And there are talks of there being, you know, American investors that want to buy it. Here's the thing. If you want to buy it, launch a competitor. You know, obviously you can't steal their proprietary information, but do what China does. Just copy it, make it a little bit worse, and call it your own. But like I said, I mean, I'm not a TikToker. I'm not on there all the time. But I do like to scroll through now and then and watch some old comedy videos, old SNL bits, old moments from TV shows, old wrestling interviews and matches. And oh my God, there's so much stuff on there. But also, there's a lot of people that are making money off of it too. Whether it be, you know, independent content creators who have monetized their content, whether it be businesses who utilize it for promotion. Do you know what's funny? Some of the videos that come across my feed, because they have the live broadcasts, some of the lives that come across when I'm scrolling through those are like a coffee shop where the person just sets up TikTok and has it running all day. Or the kitchen where they're working the grill. And it's just showing people a little bit of the behind the scenes stuff. People like to what you go in there and there's thousands of people watching it. And that benefits that business. That's free advertising for that business. And they're going to lose all of that. But anyway, one of the things that is a trend on TikTok and on other social media platforms is, do you remember the show To Catch a Predator? Chris Hansen, Dateline, you know, he would, I don't think it was a show unto itself. I think it was, you know, a series within Dateline. It was an episodes that they would do, in which they would work with local law enforcement who were trying to expose people who were trying to meet up with underage folks for sexual purposes. And they would basically set up a sting. They'd have a female officer who would pose as an underage girl and these people would be interacting with them, and they would then go to meet them. And when they went to meet them, Chris Hansen would walk out and say, you know, what are you doing? Why are you meeting up with this 17-year-old girl? Or in some cases, you know, 12-year-old girl or 14-year-old girl. And the person would like inevitably make a bunch of excuses, and eventually they try to run, and police would be there outside waiting to arrest them. And because those videos get shared on social media and are quite popular, the trend has become for people to try to go and make those videos on their own. And so the idea is that they do the same thing. They have somebody pose as a girl, meet somebody online, agree to meet up with them in person, and then film them when they get there, and then put it up on social media and publicly shame them. But here's the difference. Chris Hansen was working with local police. Chris Hansen was working with police that were already observing a suspect and already working on a sting to catch a suspect. They were going to do that whether or not Chris Hansen was involved or not. What people are doing on their own is they're having somebody pose as an underage girl and then putting it out on social media that they're trying to, you know what I mean? So it's like, instead of this being a coordinated police effort, this is them trying to lure somebody in. And then what they do is they get them to come to a location and then they videotape it. But in some cases they go beyond that and they, you know, they beat the person. And that's what happened in Massachusetts at Assumption College in Worcester. And there are five college students scheduled to make their first appearance in court today, accused of plotting to lure a man through a dating app into visiting campus last fall and then seizing him as part of a catch a predator trend on TikTok. So one of the students, a woman who texted with the man on Tinder, also faces the charge of witness intimidation. And a male student in the group faces the charge of assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. And a sixth student was charged as a juvenile whose records are confidential. But the man, who was a 22-year-old active duty military service member, told police he was in town for his grandmother's funeral in October and just wanted to be around people that were happy. He said a student whose Tinder profile said she was 18 invited him over and led him into a basement lounge. A few minutes later, a group of people came out of nowhere and started calling him a pedophile, accusing him of wanting sex with 17-year-old girls. The man told police he broke free and was chased by at least 25 people to his car, where he was punched in the head and his car door was slammed on him. He fled and called city police. And then these videos ended up going out on social media. They all had cell phones out and were recording what was going on. According to the police, they were seen laughing and high-fiving each other in what appeared to be a deliberately staged event, and that there was no evidence to indicate the man was seeking sexual relations with underage girls. And then after the assault happened, the woman, who was 18, reported to the police that the man was a sexual predator and said she was frightened by him. She said she had come to camp, he had come to campus uninvited, and that she texted a male friend who then came and chased him away. And police said all that proved to be false after they reviewed surveillance recordings and finding that first-person perspective videos were being circulated among students. Yeah, because they all recorded it and put it out there. The police don't need you to do their job. If you think somebody is trying to have sex with underage girls, tell the police. But as it says here, the police report indicates that this was all a setup. A 22-year-old guy thought he was meeting an 18-year-old girl. A 22-year-old guy thought he was meeting an 18-year-old college girl, not a high school girl. A college girl, a 22-year-old guy. A guy the age of a senior in high school, thought he was going to meet a college freshman. According to him. And then they just called him a pedophile and beat him up for the purposes of making the video. It's disturbing that this does happen, that these people are making these videos, entrapping people, and behind a false narrative. Because you can say, well, you know, that's his word that she said that she was 18. Well, she was on a dating app that you have to be 18 to be on. So it's normal that he would assume that she was the age that she should be to be on that app. I don't know if there's messages where he asked her age. And also, they went and lied about it as soon as it happened. Lied about the assault, lied about everything else. So I'm not going to believe their side of the story anyway. But this is more prevalent than you think. And here's the thing. When the police do this with Chris Hansen, it's because they have a pattern and documentation of that person sending sexual messages to somebody they think is an underage person, which is a crime. Meeting somebody on a dating app and then asking if they want to hang out and then showing up is not a crime. So you don't have a leg to stand on here. It's way more nuanced what Chris Hansen does than what you're doing. And yes, catch them all. But you can't create a scenario to try to catch somebody for a crime that they weren't committing and they weren't looking to commit. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be right back.
That I am new, but I don't care for sugar, honey, if I can't have you. Since you abandoned me, my whole life is a crash. Won't you pick the pieces up? Cause it feels just like I'm a walking on broken glass.
And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. And I mean, nobody wants to walk on broken glass, but all of the glass in my house, I drink out of paper cups most of the time. Plastic cups, you know, those red Solo cups, whatever, reusable cups. And, you know, I don't really have a lot of glass because, well, I've got a cat who's going to knock everything over, but also, you know, because I knock a lot of things over. But you know what I do have that's a glass is all the great bottles of stuff I've gotten over at Stevie's Wine and Spirits right here in Fairhaven. And that's because I'm part of the Rack House Club. Every month, I go into Stevie's and I pay my monthly fee for being part of the Rack House Club. And I get a bag with a different bottle in it that's worth at least as much as my membership cost with some other goodies in it as well. But also, I get invited to special events. And I get a standing 10% discount on all my whiskey and bourbon purchases. So if you are a fan of whiskey and bourbon, you should be joining the Rack House Club. But also, you should definitely be joining the Rack House Club because next month they have a very special event planned for the members that I can't tell you about if you're not a member. But it's one of the biggest and best events they've offered so far if you are a fan of whiskey. And I am a huge fan of not only whiskey, but also this particular whiskey, which that should give you a hint as to what it might be all about. But they want you to sign up by the middle of the month, by the 15th of the month, to be part of that month's Rack House Club. So you can still get in there today and sign up. You won't be eligible for the January bag, but maybe you will be. I can't say for sure. But, I mean, technically no, but, you know, they're good people over there. But if you do sign up today, you will be eligible in February to be part of that event. So make sure that you get over there and join the Rack House Club if that is something that you're interested in. And if it's not, well, they've got plenty of other great things as well, such as beers and wine and tequila and vodka and everything you can imagine. But they also have brands that you won't find anywhere else. And anything with a purple dot on the sticker on the shelf, if it has a purple dot, you can ask to try it before you buy it. They're very knowledgeable about it all. They can tell you all about why that bottle might be the perfect one for you. And they're just great people as well. I love going over there and walking around and shopping. And I got to go pick up my Rack House Club bag for this month. Maybe I'll go today. But check out Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And also keep an eye out. We'll have more details coming up, but they're going to have a cocktail party on February 22nd, a tasting event in which you can actually get a little dressed up if you'd like. Maybe I will. And maybe I will break out one of my suits. Again, check out Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. All right, let me take my final break of this hour to make sure I get it in. And 508-996-0500 if you want to call in, or app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app.
So I'm all about value. Bert Kemper's got the mad hits. You try to match wits. You try to hold me, but I bust through. Gonna make a break and take a pick. I like a sneak and make a shake. I like vanilla. It's the finest of the flavors. Gonna see the show, cause then you'll know the vertigo is gonna go, cause it's so dangerous. You'll have to sign a waiver. I can't help it if I think you're funny when you're mad. Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean, well, you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of taking off my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
And welcome back in. You know, bare naked ladies are just fun. excuse me. That's a band for those of you who are unfamiliar. I should have thought of that first. Really weird, Tim, to come back from talking about To Catch a Predator and then be like, and bare naked ladies are fun. But that's the name of the band that was doing that song. Because if you needed a band name in the 90s, you wanted to get something that would garner attention, and that certainly did. Like you would say to your friend, did you see the new Bare Naked Ladies video? And if they didn't know it was a band, they'd be like, no, where'd you see that? On MTV. What? Actually, I think Bare Naked Ladies were more of a VH1 band, but doesn't matter. I was watching some old music videos last night on MTV Classic. So I record 90s Nation. And it'll record a whole bunch of episodes, and I'll have like 30 episodes in there to go watch. And I'll just have a night where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to veg out and listen to some 90s music, watch some 90s videos. Had a lot of fun with those videos last night. Stayed up too late, and now I've got them all running around in my head. I was talking about TikTok and what people get on their TikTok lives and what I see. Participation Trophy Wife says, I get lots of live kitten or puppy births. It's so wild. Something I would never seek out or see on my own. And it is weird that when they give you something once, you know, if you watch it for more than just a few seconds, you're going to get another one of those videos. Even though you're watching it saying to yourself, why would I watch this? But you're doing it long enough that the algorithm says, oh, they like watching this. Let's give them more. For some reason, I get a lot of videos of people playing video games. I don't watch those at all. I scroll, as soon as I see a screen, I'm just like, nope, swipe, just keep scrolling. But it also knows that I like things to do with stand-up comedy and sketch comedy and pro wrestling and music. So I get a lot of that stuff. But again, I don't go on it every day. Every once in a while, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just scroll through TikTok. That's an idea. But or somebody will send me a message and I'll go to check it, and then I'll end up scrolling through, spending a few minutes on it.